Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Ba-da-da-da-da. So nice the sun is finally shining again. It was such a rare occurrence that at first I was terribly confused and thought the planet was on fire. No, really, I did. Anyway, hope everyone's enjoying their sunshiny day. I see Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters is already in the room. Always the first one. I set her alarm or something. I don't know. I'm going to open up the chat room. See Betty Jo Tucker every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Movie Attic Headquarters. This week she's going to be featuring Hugh O'Brien. I love Hugh O'Brien. Remember him from all the Western TV shows and stuff, so. Check out Betty Jo Tucker Movie Attic Headquarters. She gets the first plug because she's the first one in the room. But she's always the first because she's just that jolly.
Rush in where angels fear to tread. And so I come to you, my love, my heart above my head. Though I see the danger there, if there's a chance for me, then I don't care. Romance is a game for fools, I used to say. A game I thought I'd never play. Romance is a game for fools, I said and grinned. Then you passed by, and here am I, throwing caution to.
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island, but I was in college and there was no courses, there was no curriculum, there was no way. There was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390, which reclassified me as a mineral, like right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old tests and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got, $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah, so what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossingers, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage and he'd come up to me and he goes, boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh. And I said, gee, I heard a laugh. And then we would bargain and I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50. You know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities, and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage, deliver the jokes with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents, and he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house. We'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. About 4 months into this experiment, I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, what? He goes, you know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life. I said, I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing? He said, well, your material's not bad. Did you write it? I said, yeah. He said, can I see more of it? I said, you bet. I didn't even ask who it was at first because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
Bria Skonberg. Love Bria. You got to check her out. Check out Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Corner, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Hey, we have the Colbert Corner. Hello, Colbert Corner. Or is it Colbert Corner? I'm not sure. But thank you for popping in. Glad to see you in there. And we'll keep the comedy going. Betty Jo Tucker this week has Hugh O'Brien. Love that. She'll be talking to him and finding out all kinds of great stuff. I love Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. The most informative show on Blog Talk Radio about theater. Hello, Colbert. Colbert Corner, where are you? What town are you from? Write it in there. Thank you for joining us today. Always glad to help you. And let's have some comedy going on here. Boy, it's really just the weather is so great. I just can't get over it. It's just so fantastic. Oh, the goon. Always a friend of the goon.
Come is it, Echo?
Just a minute, I got it written down here on a piece of paper. A nice man wrote the time down for me this morning.
Then why do you carry it around with you, I guess?
Well, if anybody asks me the time, I can show it to them.
Wait a minute, Eccles, my good man.
What is it, fellow?
It's written on this bit of paper. What is 8 o'clock, is written.
I know that, my good fellow. That's right. When I asked a fellow to write it down, it was 8 o'clock.
Well, then, supposing when somebody asks you the time, it isn't 8 o'clock.
Well, then I don't show it to them.
Well, how do you know when it's 8 o'clock?
I got it written down on a piece of paper.
Oh, I wish I could afford a piece of paper with the time written on.
Oh.
Here, Echo.
Yeah?
Let me hold that piece of paper to my ear, would you? Here. This piece of paper ain't going.
What? I've been told a forgery.
No wonder it stopped at 8 o'clock.
Oh, dear.
You should get one of them things my granddad's got.
Oh.
His firm gave it to him when he retired.
Oh.
It's one of them things, what it is, that wakes you up at 8 o'clock, boils the kettle, and pours a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
My grandma.
Oh, wait a minute. How does she know when it's 8 o'clock?
She got it written down on a piece of paper.
I wake up in the morning, didn't sleep well through the night. I tried to get some Z's, but the voices made me right. I need a cup of Java to jumpstart and feel pert. My boys can't see from my glazed eyes that I am not alert. Everything I tell you goes in one ear, out the other. Just do what I say and listen to me. You'll live longer. I'm your mother.
Make me, cray to the Z. Make me. Cray to the Z.
No texting at the table. And put away your phone. The voices in my head won't leave me alone. I can write a song about it. I can tell a joke. I can take some meds. But I can't smoke.
Make me. Cray to the Z. Make me. Cray to the Z.
Incorporate the voices in my act. the voices in my head yell, come out and play. I could pretend I'm normal. I could pretend I'm fine, but there's no fun in being sane. So come on and share the wine. Make me, 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 great to the Z. Going with
you
this.
Make me.
Where are we going with
Cray
this?
To the Z.
You want a piece of me?
You make me.
Bring it on.
Cray to the Z.
You make me.
Cray to the Z.
Don't make me tell your father.
You make me. Cray to the Z.
Where are we going with this?
Make me. Cray to the Z.
And now, how about the comedy of Fanny Bryce from a film short?
Hello, operator. I just dialed a number. What? No outgoing calls? I mailed your check yesterday. You'll positively receive it tomorrow. You leave the phone connected? Thank you. Please get me that number. Hello, is this the butcher? This is Mrs. Edelman. I got to have 2-pound lamb chops right away for dinner. No meat? I mailed your check yesterday. You'll positively receive it tomorrow. I'll get the lamb chops tomorrow. Thank you. I mailed you. Oh, it's the door. Come in.
Mrs. Edelman?
Yeah?
A cablegram.
A cablegram?
Yeah, from Ireland.
Ireland? Let me see. Who do I know in Ireland?
I think you won the sweepstakes.
Congratulations. Your ticket number 44678 has been drawn in the Irish sweepstakes. Ah, here. I got no change.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
True to me?
Yes. No. I mean, I just got a cable from Ireland. Monty, have I got a surprise for you?
What is it?
You know that ticket you bought on the sweepstakes?
Yes.
Well, it's won.
We won a stake? We won the sweepstakes?
Yeah!
A glass of water, please.
What do you mean, water? Champagne? We're rich? Oh, our troubles are over. Bench, do something! Hey, Monty.
We're rich. We're rich. We. Wait a minute.
Monty, don't go crazy yet. Wait till we get the money.
I haven't gone crazy, but something terrible has happened.
What could be terrible when we've won the sweepstakes?
Listen, I met the landlord in the hall and had to pay him the month's rent, $45.
What's the difference? We'll buy the house.
But you don't understand. I only have $42.50. So to make up the extra $2.50, I gave the landlord the sweepstakes ticket.
So what? What'd you say?
I gave the landlord the sweepstakes ticket.
Monty, dear, you should drop dead.
I'll jump out the window.
Who stops you?
If the landlord knows the ticket won, he won't give it back.
But if he don't know, we'll get it. Quick!
He's out in the hall.
Get him! Get him!
Martin!
Mr. Martin! Mr. Martin!
I've come in, Mr. Martin. Funny, my wife was just talking about you.
Hello, Mrs. Edelman.
Hello, Mr. Martin. Sit down.
Thanks.
You look good. You look absolutely wonderful. Make yourself at home. Here, take an apple.
Oh, thanks.
You know, Mr. Martin, my wife is so superstitious about that sweet steak ticket.
Yeah.
You let me have it back, I'll give you the $2.50 tomorrow.
Oh, that's why you called me in, and I'm going. I've got the ticket right here in my wallet, and that's where it's going to stay.
No, no, Mr. Martin,
just
sit down.
Yeah.
You know, you never come around to see us, and we're always so glad to see you. By world. Oh, it's so wrinkled. I could press it for you.
Oh, thank you.
The pencil's wrinkled, too. I could press the whole suit in a jiffy.
Oh, no, never mind.
Sure. Take off your pants.
Never mind the pants.
Make you feel more at home. I'll take off mine.
No. Just press the coat. Do you know that I have a feeling that this ticket's going to win?
Pardon me. I don't feel so good.
Come in. Here, Mr. Martin. Sit down again. Have an apple.
Oh, thanks.
Cablegram, Mrs. Edelman. Congratulations.
Thank you. Beat it.
Why did he offer you congratulations?
A relative died.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's terrible, ain't it?
Yes.
Now I'm going to press your coat.
Thank you.
Monty, a London syndicate is offering us $25,000 for the ticket. And we ain't got the ticket. Don't say a word. The trouble with you get too excited. Don't get excited. Hold yourself together. Don't go to pieces. Hold yourself together. All right.
Fine.
What'll we do?
Let's tell him the truth. Maybe he'll give us half the money.
Poison he'll give us. That's what's the trouble with you. You get excited. You go to pieces. I got an idea. If we get excited, he'll get suspicious. So we'll go in there, he'll be like very nonchalantly. You know, namby-pamby. Feel like nothing happened. Wait, where's a cigarette? Here, put the cigarette in there. Now laugh. Laugh like you told me a funny story, like nothing happened. Laugh! Oh, my God. That was the funniest story. Tell it to him.
Mr. Martin, my wife is so in love with that sweepstake ticket.
Not that it means anything, just a whim.
Mr. Martin, if that ticket did win, what would you do?
I'd hop on a boat, go over to Ireland, and collect the money.
Monty, it didn't work. It was too namby-pamby. Now, what'll we do?
Honesty is the best policy. Let's tell him the truth.
There must be an easier way.
George Washington told the truth.
Did he win a sweepstakes? Besides, this man is holding back our property. Here, take this vase.
What for?
Just a light tap. Not hard. Just a little tap on his head. Don't break the vase.
Why should I hit him?
Say he tried to kiss me.
Who would believe it?
I can dream, can't I? Wait. I know how to get the ticket. I'll flirt with him. Hoy, if I only had a sweater. I'll take this. I'll get that ticket, though my middle name ain't Violet. I'll captivate him. Am I captivating?
I never noticed it before. Norma, I think you've got something there, but don't go too far.
No, just far enough to get the ticket.
What's the matter? Did you hurt yourself?
No. You know, Mr. Martin, I find life just too dull for boys. Ain't you?
What?
All my life, I've been languishing away in this terrible flat.
What's the matter? Is there something wrong with the plumbing?
No. It's not that. It's my husband. He don't understand me.
Oh, is that so? Well, do you know, Mrs. Edelman, you're looking very attractive.
You think so? Gucci. Would you like to loll away the time?
Yeah.
Shall I turn on the radio? And we'll dance?
Yeah.
And we'll have a good time? Can you do the jitterbug?
Well, I'll take a chance.
Oh, Spanish, Signor Martin. You know, my grandfather was a Spaniard.
See? Si?
Not get away with it. I'll have you both arrested.
Oh, please don't do that, Mr. Martin. I might as well tell you the truth. The ticket you got won the sweepstakes, and they're offering $25,000 for it.
You mean this ticket won?
It won!
You're right, Monty. Honesty is the best policy.
Giving ample reasons to Edgar Billiak as Father for Davis, if you vote for me.
Elect us as president, and it's marked in your gun. You're getting two heads for the price of one.
Popeye, there, hooey is a lot of phooey. What this country needs is a woman's touch. Now, if I were president...
The people's church. What could be worse? If she was president...
Yes, if I were president... If I were president... If I were president... There'd be at least 10 months of June for folks to spend their honeymoon, and night winds all would have the sweetest scent. If I were president, if I were president, if I were president, silkworms in every house would grow, and they would all be on the go in case there was a stocking accident. If I were president, there'd be lampposts like you've never seen, and streets would all be spotless clean. If I were president, if I were president, I'd have a cure that would work right for those who couldn't sleep at night. The time they stayed awake would be well spent. If I were president, if I were president, if I were president, the dogs whose habits all are strange would undergo a brand new change, and all day ice cream cone would cost a cent. If I were president, if I were president, if I were president, each bus would have a smoother run with lots of seats for everyone. Apartments once again would be for rent. If I were president, there would be no wrangling anymore, or drumsticks that fell short before. If I were president, if I were president, I'd pick up feminine morale and get a man for every gal. More holidays would get my strong consent. If I were president.
Ray,
needed all the time. A woman president. Hooray for olive oil. Yahoo!
Propose the Bachelorette. I hope this motion is carried. The bachelor tax will convince each guy that it's cheaper to be married.
We accept it. We reject it.
I propose the Women Wear the Pants in the Family Act. This program is quite ambitious. There'll be handsome secretaries for every lady's lap, while hubby stays home washing dishes.
We reject it. We accept it.
And for my special cabinet, to give things proper attention, I have chosen certain men whose names I need not mention.
We accept it. We reject it. 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 We reject it. We reject it.
Hooray for the new regime, the best president we ever had. Olive oil. Olive oil. President? Wow. What president? Olive oil. All the soul of America.
Okay, you gotta admit that was fun, right? Cyanide's in the house, Marco Polo. Okay, the show's going along fast. This is my new favorite musician. She's just way out there, and she's written a new song, and it's kind of fun, considering the times. Okay, Betty Jo, this one's for you.
Read an interview with a young actress. Said she wasn't a feminist. This outspoken actress was on the A-list. Sorry, but I just can't resist. What on earth are you picturing? Castrating men while wearing sensible shoes? You must not know what feminism means, that a feminist is you. You're a feminist. Sorry, babe, but you're a feminist. I just think you don't even get the gist if you say you're not a feminist. Millennial women were truly happy for you. You feel empowered, and that was the goal of truth. So many of your rights are guaranteed today that you can't imagine things will end or any other way. It's wonderful you don't feel such crap, but to give the feminists who came before you a bad rap, I mean, do they even give you your free pass? So why don't you just shut your yap? Only about this, though. Say anything you want about anything else, all your opinions, and don't let anyone tell you you can't, because you're a feminist. Yeah, babe, you're a feminist. Just take a look at the checklist. You like voting? You like driving? You're a feminist. Past feminists gave their lives to let you vote and be more than wise. Saying you're not a feminist gives them hives, although they're dead and buried, so it's hard to see. We try to explain this because you don't hate men. How do we have to go through that again and again? It's not about who's better. Here's my proof. Lots of men are feminists too, right? Where are my feminist guys at? Yeah! You want to argue that we're post-feminism? Well, tell that to American conservatism or post anything opinionated on the web without a death threat from some misogynistic head. Yeah, Jesus, you're a feminist. Yeah, babe, you're a feminist. All your ideas would have been dismissed before there was a world of feminists. A feminist is described as a person who believes in social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. Why is this so confusing? Shit, I can't do math.
something weird. But this isn't just about me and you. It's about girls who get stoned for just going to school. Which human is twice as likely to live in poverty? Yeah, I'm seeing boobies. Yeah, but no, you're not a feminist. No, not you, you're not a feminist. You know who else isn't? Boko Haram. Rush Limbaugh. The Taliban. You might want to call yourself a feminist. And to that woman who got interviewed, just count up all the money your male co-star is getting compared to you. And while you're at it, count up all the women on the film crew. Cause there's only 2%, I said 2% of directors are females, and that's just a little bit skewed. And now count up all the women in film who are in the nude, whose coochies we viewed. And it's like 31% versus 9% of male where things protrude. And I swear I'm not being a prude. It's, I'd be happy to see more men in the nude, like Jude. Oh. I'm just talking about equality here, dude. And to that woman that got interviewed, the fact that you're even giving interviews in the national news about your opinion means you're a feminist.
Well, time went fast, didn't it? But it was fun. So let's do a little sing out, shall we? Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. And this weekend, I mean this week, tomorrow, she's gonna have Hugh O'Brien. I was just looking for a rhyme. Check out her blogs and everything she writes. Very informative. You can even listen at night. So let's talk now about another friend. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. It's Word This Wednesday. Word This Wednesday at Sidewalk Cafe. It's going to be great. Christine Lottie is going to be one of the people speaking. It's at 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 15th. The lineup: Christine Lottie, James Judd, Marie Faustin, Robert Dubot, Ann Telemann, Will Link, Music Gypsy Funk Squad with special guest Shoshana. The Sidewalk Bar and Restaurant, 94 Avenue A, corner of 6th Street. $5 admission and one drink. It's worth the show. Check it out. Okay, Terry Mintz, I got you in at the end. All right, I'll announce you again if I do another show this week before Wednesday. It's Word, my friends. Check out Word. You can go to Facebook, The Word Storytelling Show, and follow them there. All right, keep smiling, and a special shout-out all the way across Amsterdam. It's Marco Polo, Cyanide in the chat room. Thank you. Don't forget, Word, the storytelling show, people, stories, music, and booze. 8 p.m., Sidewalk Cafe, 94 Avenue A, corner of 6th Street. And check them out on Facebook, too. It's going to be great. Okay. I can only find my link. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. The whole world smiles with you. Oh, yeah, by me. They're smiling. Can you hear them smiling?